Tomorrow, our country will collectively remember and give thanks for the life and witness of the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr. Martin Luther King, Jr. was and is, of course, remembered as one of the leaders of the civil rights movement of the 50s and 60s. On August 28, 1963, Dr. King stood on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial during the historic March on Washington for Jobs and Freedom and delivered his famous I Have a Dream speech. It was a, if not the, defining moment of the American civil rights movement. In the speech, King argued for, nay, demanded, equal rights for all persons, regardless of race, ethnicity, creed, or the like. He spoke eloquently about an America he longed to see for his children and for his children's children, an America sadly still yet to be entirely realized. In a sense, we have come to our nation's capital to cash a check, King said. We refuse to believe that the bank of justice is bankrupt. We refuse to believe that there are insufficient funds in the great vaults of opportunity of this nation. So we have come to cash this check, a check that will give us, upon demand, the riches of freedom and the security of justice. We have also come to this hallowed spot to remind America of the fierce urgency of now. The fierce urgency of now. A beautiful and eloquent statement. Something was and is awry, off, and the time had come to set it right. King continued, "This is no time to engage in the luxury of cooling off or to take the tranquilizing drug of gradualism." So many, even numerous colleagues in ministry had encouraged him to back off, to be patient, to wait. His sense of the situation and time would not allow such an approach. He was convinced of the fierce urgency of now, and we are all the better for it. Perhaps he should come as no surprise that King, a Baptist minister, had a strong sense of urgency in regard to the work to which he was called and uniquely equipped. King was, after all, a Christian, a disciple and apostle of Jesus Christ, the same Christ who spoke the words that we heard read today. Keep awake, therefore, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. And so, as a Christian, King knew that the time was short. He knew that there was work to be done on behalf of the gospel before the return of the Son of Man, and thus there was no time to engage in the luxury of cooling off or to take the tranquilizing drug of gradualism. To be sure, the situation called for fierce urgency, but he was almost certainly informed by the urgency of faith as well. He did not want to be like the wicked slave who said, "My master is delayed," and thus wasted his time living in and encouraging active or even passive sinfulness. King understood and spoke passionately about the urgency of the time. And we would do well to heed this message from Scripture and from a crucial moment in the history of our country. Keep awake, therefore, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But understand this: if the owner of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. Fear not, friends, this is no message about the judgment of God on that final day, not because there will not be judgment, for Scripture is clear on this point, but rather because the exact nature and purpose of the judgment are known only to God. And perhaps even more importantly, because we need not fear the judgment, for we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. We do not have a high priest who was unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who in every respect has been tested as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore approach the throne of grace with boldness, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So no, this is no message about judgment, for threat of judgment, or really threat of punishment, has proven time and time again to be a short-term and ultimately poor motivator. No, this is a message of urgency. For blessed is that slave whom his master will find at work when he arrives. Our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ has promised to return to usher in the new heaven and the new earth, and his word is sure. Furthermore, he has assured us through his word that we will not know the time and manner in which his return will take place. So it could be today, tomorrow, this week, next week, or millennia from now. The uncertainty is, or at least should be, unnerving for us. The first disciples thought that they would surely live to see the return of the king, for Jesus himself had said, "Truly I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all things have taken place." But alas, they did pass away, and has every generation since. And with each passing day, week, month, over thousands of years, that urgency has been lost. Perhaps it is foolish to expect that it would not, for so much time has passed, and so many have come and gone. Besides, we're comfortable now, at least those of us here. No persecution, no ridicule. We've made peace with our acquiescence to culture and materialism. Our master is delayed has become our mantra. And so our diligence dies, and our watchfulness wanes, and our expectancy evaporates, and our attentiveness atrophies. We so easily lose sight of kingdom priorities and set our master up for disappointment when he finally arrives home. And we become more and more like the foolish owner of the house who, though he knows the thief will come, makes no preparations. Or like the wicked slave who takes advantage of his fellow slaves, convinced the master will not return anytime soon, if at all. Biblical scholar William Barclay relays an old fable. Three apprentice devils were coming to this earth to finish their apprenticeship. They were talking to Satan, the chief of the devils, about their plans to tempt and ruin men and women. The first said, "I will tell them there is no God." And Satan said, "That will not delude many, for they know that there is a God." The second said, "I will tell them there is no hell." And Satan answered, "You will deceive no one that way. They know even now that there is a hell for sin." The third said, "I will tell them there is no hurry." "Go," said Satan, "and you will ruin them by the thousand." The most dangerous of all delusions is that there is plenty of time, adds Barclay. The most dangerous day of our lives is when we learn that there is no such word as tomorrow. That there is such a word as tomorrow. Keep watch, therefore. A few short verses later, in the 25th chapter of Matthew, we find Jesus using a parable to teach once again. This time, he tells of a man who went on a long journey. Before he left, he summoned three of his slaves and gave to each a portion of his wealth. To one, 5 talents, a significant sum of money. To another, 2 talents. And to a third, 1 talent, each according to his ability. The first slave set off quickly and doubled his portion from 5 to 10. The second slave did likewise, turning 2 into 4. The third slave was fearful of the master and thus hid the 1 talent with which he had been entrusted. Upon his return, the master was pleased to find that the first 2 slaves had been shrewd with his wealth. He lauded them and promised promotions. He was not pleased, however, with the actions of the 3rd slave and sent him away into the outer darkness. Friends, there is no doubt that we too have been entrusted with immeasurable treasure, the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The question is, what do we choose to do with it? Because you see, even 2,000 years later, many still have not heard. They do not know the joy, the hope, the peace that we know because we know Jesus the Christ, who upon receiving the greatest gift of all time, buries it never to share its joys with others. We dare not bury this treasure, but instead share it and invest it, trusting that the returns will be great and we will bring joy to our God. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations is not an option, it is a command. We simply do not have the luxury of sitting on this gift. Many have not heard, and it is our responsibility and privilege to share the good news with them. A little further still in chapter 25, we find another familiar lesson. And then the king will say to those at his right hand, "Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you for the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me." And then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you?" And the king will answer them, "Truly, I tell you, just as you did it for one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me." You see, even 2,000 years later, still many are hungry and thirsty and strangers and naked in prison. The least of these are all around us, in our neighborhoods, in our schools, in our workplaces, even in these pews. How we do or do not reach out in love and charity to them reflects our willingness to reach out in love and charity to our own Savior. Truly, I tell you, just as you did it for one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me. You give them something to eat. It is not an option. It is a command. The body must be fed and nurtured before the ears and soul can be receptive. The faithful and wise slave gave the other slaves their allowance of food at the proper times. And this pleased the master upon his return, and the slave was blessed. As long as there are those who have not heard, as long as there are those who hunger, thirst, flee, face injustice and pain, there is work to be done. Today, in the present hour, the needs are urgent, so must be our response. Keep awake, therefore, for you do not know the day. Therefore, you must also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. We are called to be watchful people, diligent, attentive, expectant. But let us be careful not to be fooled into thinking that watchfulness is synonymous with idleness. For our watch is not passive, it is active. With hands on the plow and eyes set to the horizon, we go about the work of the kingdom with faith and hope that upon our Lord's return, he will have every reason to say, "Well done, good and faithful servants." Our God has been so very good to us. Nothing should please us more than to be found at work for the gospel when our master returns. What joy would fill God's heart? What joy would fill our hearts? In the words of an old African-American spiritual, there's a king and captain high, and he's coming by and by, and he'll find me hoeing cotton when he comes. You can hear his legions charging in the regions of the sky, and he'll find me hoeing cotton when he comes. There's a man they thrust aside who was tortured till he died, and he'll find me hoeing cotton when he comes. He was hated and rejected, he was scorned and crucified, and he'll find me hoeing cotton when he comes. When he comes, when he comes. He'll be crowned by saints and angels when he comes. They'll be shouting out Hosanna to the man the men denied. And I'll kneel among my cotton when he comes. We wait, we watch, and we work. So the time has come to renew commitments and reclaim that fierce urgency of now. We do so not out of fear that time is running short, but out of hope that it is. And that when that time comes for the Master to return, there will be no doubt that he will find us laboring hard to share the good news, to feed the hungry, and to clothe the naked. We stand now at the beginning of a new year, with the great and blessed endeavor just behind us, equipping us for new and exciting ministries that lie ahead. So let today mark the start of a new day at Christ Memorial Presbyterian Church. And let's get to work. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.